all been there at one point. I want to give you a definition as we begin our message this morning on the word distress. Just straight up out of the dictionary there. It is a noun, distress, and here's what it means. Great pain. Don't look at the person next to you. Anxiety or sorrow. Acute physical or mental suffering. Affliction. Trouble. Anybody ever been there? A state of extreme necessity or misfortune. The state of a ship or airplane requiring immediate assistance, as when on fire in transit. That which causes pain, suffering, trouble, danger. Liability or exposure to pain, suffering, trouble, or danger, such as a damsel in distress. We spend a lot of time talking about distress in our lives. Anytime we begin to speak of the things that are troubling us and concerning us, the things that have happened to us, we fall into this place of distress. And so this morning I want to tell you that there is an answer for distress. Amen? His name is Jesus. And I want to tell you what he did when he encountered a woman who was in distress. In order to do that, I'm going to take you right to Scripture, which is the book of Luke, chapter 13. So turn, if you would, please, in your Scriptures to Luke, chapter 13. Luke 13. Look there, if you would, please, at verse 10. And it says this in Luke 13, 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. Now, there are a lot of corollaries and rabbit trails I could take in this message today. I'm just telling you, I'm going to try and be good and restrain myself. Every word you hear from me this morning, there are about 100 other words I'm not saying, okay? So here's what we're going to do. Wednesday, we're going to unpack some of the little rabbit trails that I throw out there. So feel free to come Wednesday night. We're kind of digging in deeper. But here's the thing. There's a difference between some sickness that is caused by physical affliction or viruses or bacteria and sickness is caused by a spirit. There is a distinction. We could talk about that Wednesday night. So let's move on. And she was bent doubled over in pain, could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed." She wasn't a slave. She wasn't in chains. She wasn't, "Why, you are freed?" And he used an interesting word. The word is up there. You'll see it up there. It's the word luo, which means loosed. "Woman, you are loosed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." No healing on the Sabbath. Now, there's a religious spirit sometimes that says we only need to do the things that we plan to do on that time together. But let me tell you, when God has a plan, we let God go with his plan. Amen? He is the Lord of the Sabbath. If he wants to heal on the Sabbath, if he wants to deliver on the Sabbath, if he wants to save, he can do it. And so we have Jesus responding to this. The Lord answered and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And the woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound," deo is the Greek word, "this woman whom Satan has bound, for 18 long years, should she not have been released or loosed, luo, from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Look at your neighbor and say, "Deo." I'll say it with meaning, "Deo." In Greek, that means bound. Look at your neighbor and say, "Luo." Do it like Hawaiian, "Luo, luo." No, just, I want you to remember these words. Here's why. They're going to come into play quite a bit during the message today. "Deo" means bound, "luo" means loosed. And he said this, and all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. Lord, I pray that today you'll help us to understand Deo and Luo. Help us to understand as we talk about spiritual warfare that the enemy seeks to bind us, but instead we are bound to you. We are loosed from his power and control. And I pray that today you will help us to walk in victory because we understand not only mentally, but spiritually we comprehend. So in the Jesus' name, I ask that you would loose from us any distractions, any wrong focus, any unwillingness to hear, any denial, any fear, anything that would keep us in pride from following you. And Lord, that we would be bound to you. We would be bound to your word, bound to the truth that you are giving us today. And it would sink deep into our soul, but even deeper into our spirit, and that we would align ourselves with your purpose and your call for our life, and in doing so experience the freedom, the joy, the peace, and the power that is found in being bound to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus uses these terms with intentional meaning. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 to 19, I'm going to encourage you, get a piece of paper, get a pen ready. When I hit some scripture sections, I'm giving you four or five references to support my point because I want you to understand the claim that I'm making today that you may not have heard before in your Christian walk. But I want to back these up with scripture, not just my opinion. And so you can jot down these scriptures. We won't read them all, but we will read some of them and some will read sections. So if you've got that pen and paper ready, Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19, you can read it later, but we're going to read it now. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock," this statement that you are the Christ, the Son of God, "upon that rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." And verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind," deo, say deo, "on earth shall have been bound," say deo, "in heaven. And whatever you loose," say luo, "on earth shall have been loosed," say luo, "in heaven." Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. He says it again in Matthew 18, 18. And he says this, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind, deo, on earth shall have been bound, deo, in heaven. Whatever you loose, luo, on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." The Greek word luo, we're going to look at that first. It has 43 occurrences in Scripture. These are small texts up here. I apologize that it's a little bit small there to see. But there are 43 times when it's used in the Authorized or the King James Version, and so translations vary in terms of how they translate a word. But this is used as the word loose 27 times, break 5 times, unloose 3 times, destroy twice, dissolve twice, put off once and melt once, break up once and break down. The word luo not only means loose, it means to destroy, dissolve, put off, melt, break up, break down, completely annihilate. To loose any person or thing that is tied or fastened is one meaning, such as the bandages of the feet, the shoes, of a husband and wife joined together by the bond of matrimony, of a single man, whether he has already had a wife or is not yet married. To loose one bound, to unbind, release from bonds, to set free of one bound up in bandages or bound with chains, a prisoner, to discharge them from prison, to let them go, to break the bondage. Do you hear where this is going in spiritual warfare? To loosen, undo, dissolve anything bound, tied, or compacted together. An assembly, to dismiss or break up. Laws as having a binding force or likened to bonds. To annul, to do away with, to deprive of authority, whether by precept or act, to declare unlawful, to loose what is compacted or built together, to break up, demolish, destroy, to dissolve something coherent into parts, to destroy, to overthrow, to do away with. To loose means more than simply untie. To loose means to dissolve, melt, break down, smash, annul, destroy, eliminate the bondage. Loosing is a complete release from and destruction of any bondage that is in your life. There are instances of luo in Scripture. Mark chapter 1, verse 7 says, "And he was preaching and saying, 'After me, one is coming who is mightier than I. I'm not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals.'" So here we see a practical visual abstraction of the word to untie sandals. Mark 7, 33 to 35, though, takes it and says this spiritually. "Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his finger into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva, and looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, 'Ephatha,' that is, 'be opened.' And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed," luo, "removed, and he began speaking plainly." So here we have a spiritual healing that touches a physical affliction, and it is loose. That tongue is loosed. The affliction is loosed from him, and because that affliction is loosed from him, therefore the tongue is able then to speak. In Scripture, we see it in Mark 11, 2. He said to him, "Go on to the village opposite you. Immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has yet ever sat. Untie it." Untie the colt. Very simple visual understanding again of this word, and bring it here. But look again in verse 16 of the Scripture we read a few moments ago. "And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan had bound for 18 long years, should not have been released," luo, "from this bond on the Sabbath day?" John 2:19, Jesus said to them, "Destroy, luo, this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Again, a rabbit trail I could take, but Jesus was talking about the physical temple, but more than that, the temple worship system, saying, in 3 days, I'm going to completely change the way you understand worship. And those 3 days were the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ over that time. But he was saying, I will smash and destroy this this not just this physical temple, but this religious system that is in place as a means of salvation in your minds, and you will understand that I am the Savior and the King of Kings. Completely altering spiritual understanding, completely altering mental understanding, cognitive understanding of spiritual truth, completely altering every system that was in place. Jesus said, I will loose it, I will destroy it, and in its place you'll see what I bring. Other instances, Acts 2, 24, but God raised him up again, luo, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. Jesus loosed the power of death. He untied the power of death. He destroyed and smashed the power of death. Ephesians 2, 14, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down, who luo, destroyed the barrier of the dividing wall. And I want to tell you today, as much as there are conversations today about dividing walls, whether they be on political parties or by race or ethnicity or by different views on different things, let me tell you that only Jesus can completely loose, break down, smash, and demolish the dividing walls. And that's why we have to remain in Christ to understand what it is to live and walk in the freedom from all of these things. There is something powerful this morning that I want you to understand, and that is that anything that binds you can be loosed from you today by the power of the living God. And so it says in 1 John 3:8, the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, here's the problem with sin. We tend to protect it. It becomes a stronghold. We talked in previous weeks about strongholds, and we protect our sin. We say, no, I have a right to do this. I want to do this. I think, I want, I feel. All of those protections upon our sin. Only when we allow Jesus to completely break down, smash, demolish, and destroy the power of sin and the work of the enemy in our lives do we experience the freedom that he wants us to have. And this morning, we have to be willing to do that, to crucify the flesh, to punish disobedience, as 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about. We have to be willing to say, I want to be loose from any authority or control that the enemy has over my life in order to experience the wholeness and healing that he alone brings. Revelation, I want to tell you, Revelation's full of these words. I'm not going to give you all the instances, but 1:5 says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and released us from our sins by his blood. Luo. So Jesus has loosed us. He has set us free from the power of the enemy, from death, from sin, division, from bondage. All those things are broken in his name. And yet there is a story that illustrates why Jesus encourages us in our prayer ministry to loose on earth what is loosed in heaven. It says in John 11, 43 and 44, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth, and Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. I want you to picture, if you would, the scene. Picture for a moment Lazarus there in that tomb. His sisters are mourning and weeping. Jesus said, if you'd only come when I thought you should come. They were the first ones to question Jesus' timing. And then Jesus came a little bit late, it looked like, because Lazarus was already there in that tomb. And there in that tomb, Jesus said, open, roll away the stone, open the tomb up, and then said, now, Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine? Rabbi, dude's dead. He's gone. No hope. That's man's perspective. Jesus speaks to the deadness of our life filled with sin and says, come forth. And Lazarus, this dead man, came out of the tomb. And not only the shock and amazement of everyone there was present, but also the realization that he had been dead. And they said, sure, it's been 3 days. Surely he stinks by now. I want to tell you, when you're not unwrapped from the death clothes, you're still going to carry the stench. This morning, we may be alive in Christ, but we may still have the wrappings and the trappings of death all around us. Sin. Death. Lust of the flesh. Pride of life. I want you to picture yourself sitting here today. You have gauze bandages here and there. Maybe you're wrapped tightly. But whatever it is, Jesus does not say to Lazarus, now shake it off yourself, buddy. Come on, pull it together. You stink, man. He doesn't just speak to the cloth wrappings and watch them fall off. He says to other people around, unbind him and let him go. God has commissioned the church to work together for the unbinding of each other from the trappings of death. Let me say that again. God has commissioned you and I as the church, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, with the task of unbinding our brothers and sisters who are still wrapped in the trappings and the wrappings of this dead, sinful life. And you and I have a part in removing from them the marks of sin and death. Now, I can imagine Lazarus standing there. I picture a mummy all wrapped up. Lazarus comes forth. I'm trying, you know. But he gets out there, and he's standing there, and he's like, unbind him. No, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Can you imagine Lazarus? But that's what we do. See, we run away when other people try and help us. I can picture on the other side the crowd. Unbind him. Are you nuts? He stinks. They didn't know about bacteria back then, maybe, but all they knew is, I don't want to touch that. You see, that was considered to be ceremonially unclean to touch any dead body or any wrapping of death back then. And so they would have had to violate their conscience, their sense of the visceral response of touching a dead man, their sense of religious duty and obligation to go and fulfill it. You're going to have to get over some hurdles today in order to be of help and benefit to another man or woman or teenager or child in the body of Christ who needs to be unwrapped from the trappings and the wrappings of death. And so this morning, understand that in this illustration, Jesus gave us a real clear understanding of luo. You see, even after we're made alive in Christ, there are still the wrappings of death which must be loosed in order for us to live that abundant life. I want you to notice another context in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20, and I'm going to trim this one a little bit short, but this is the discipline section. If you don't know how we should act toward one another in the body of Christ, this is a whole separate message packed into this one slide that I won't go into. But basically, if your brother sins against you, that means you call somebody and gossip, put it on Facebook, or maybe tweet something nasty about them, right? No, not according to Matthew 18. You go talk to the brother who's offended you, and only if they've actually sinned against you, not if they just offended your sensibility about something. We have to have a grace toward one another that knows where the threshold is. We really only react negatively because we don't fully understand a brother or sister until they reach that point of sin, then we go and tell them. If not, two or three witnesses come. If not that, tell it to the church, to leadership, and they can address it. But in this context, he says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind, Deo on earth shall have been bound, Deo in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you that two of you agree on earth about anything they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there also in their midst. The context of the word luo here in ministry is this. First of all, we have a loosing ministry. You and I have a loosing ministry. Look at your neighbor and say, you have a loosing ministry. Here's what it is. First of all, we search out sinners. Sinners are by definition bound by the power of sin and death. The sinners are bound by those preconceptions and by the flesh and by the sin and the desires, all that. They're bound together. We are there to loose them by telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. We are also here with a ministry of sanctifying the saints, because even after we come to Christ and we're made alive in Him, we still sometimes have the wrappings and trappings of death, and we need to be loosed from the power and effect of the enemy and his work. In the midst of conflict, the enemy gets his grip on us and we don't resolve it, and so we need to be loose from the grip of the enemy in the midst of that conflict and that offense. Accountability, we are accountable to one another. We minister to one another. We pray for one another. Body ministry, people say, well, why should I go to church? Because you cannot live the Christian life the way it is defined by Jesus, demonstrated in the New Testament, shown by the early church, and exhorted by Paul in the epistles. You cannot live that Christian life apart from the body of Christ and the community of faith within the local church. You can't. You can still be saved. I'm not going to argue that point, but I'm going to tell you, in order to live the life God's called you to, and then it becomes continual disobedience if you don't. We need each other, and we need to understand that we have a spiritual purpose of loosing and binding today. And so within that, there is an activation by binding and loosing by our prayers. And Jesus says, the way that you bind, the way that you loose, the way that this is put into action is by prayer. Pray for one another. Begin to search the scriptures for pray for one another. Pray for one another. But how do we pray? Lord, I pray that you'll help them with their mess and fix the problems and I don't know, just make them happy. They're, you know, ticking me off. But God, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we don't know how to pray. This morning I want to teach you how to pray so that you may bind and loose. As we agree together, there's power. Not just praying silently or just one, you know, in our own life, but agreeing together, two or three. Jesus is there. He walks in the room and he is present. So what about this other word, the word deo? There are 44 occurrences of the word, bind 37 times, tie 4 times, knit together once, be in bonds once, and wind once. I don't understand that one. But anyway, it means this, to bind, tie, or fasten, to bind or fasten with chains. The winding is winding about and binding up, by the way. But to bind, to fasten with chains, to throw into chains, metaphorically, it refers to, in the definition, that scripture we read earlier, it's to be bound to one, a wife or a husband, to forbid, prohibit, declare, to be listed. So think of just binding, connecting together. There are some good examples of the word deo. There's some good uses of it. Here they are. First of all, in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, it says, And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. You see that effect? Because I'm yoked with Christ, because I'm bound by the Spirit, I'm going to fulfill the will of God. You know, you ever run a three-legged race? How many have actually done it? Not looked at it or watched it. How many have actually ever been tied to somebody else's leg and run a three-legged race? Raise your hand up. All right, now, how many of you that raised your hand fell at one point? Okay, do you know why you fell? Because you were not in sync. And the reason we fall when we're yoked to Jesus is because we're not in sync with Him. We're trying to tell Jesus, put your leg this way. Jesus, come on. And Jesus is saying, will you just follow my lead, please? I've got this figured out. I've been doing this a while. And we're tripping all over and falling because we don't understand what it is to be yoked and bound to Jesus and bound to His Spirit. But Paul did. And Paul said, I am bound to the Spirit of Christ. And because of that, this is where He's leading me and guiding me. Romans 7:2 says, for the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. There is a spiritual bond that is there between husband and wife. And this is a good bond, being bound to husband, being bound to wife. 1 Corinthians 7:27 flips it. Says to the man, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. And so there is that connection that happens there because there is a spiritual bond. But then there are oppressive or bad examples of binding. Not bad examples, but oppressive examples. Here they are, John 18:12. So the Roman cohort and the commander and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. That's not good. Acts 12:6. When Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, he was bound with chains. Acts 21:33. The commander took him and commanded he be bound with chains. So you see the binding with chains, the binding, the enslavement, the connection. So what do we do with this word bind? I want to take this word and I want to look at it paired with another word that makes the word doulos. You see the word deo in there, duo, doulos. It is translated as bondservant or bondslave. And it refers to one who willingly gives up their own agenda and their interests in order to devote themselves or to be willingly bound to the one whom they serve. Bond slave. Willingly saying, I bind myself to you because I want to serve you. If we go no further, let me tell you that should be the picture of husband and wife. But it's the picture really of us in Jesus Christ. Lord, I bind myself to you to serve you. I bind myself, I bind my mind, I bind my heart, I bind my will, everything to live for you. I wonder if anybody did that in Scripture. Well, Mary did that before Jesus was even born. Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed. In Luke 1:48, she said it again, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. Mary recognized that she was connected to the purposes of God. Simeon in the temple said, now, Lord, you're releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. And then Peter and John, the elders look at them in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, and says, take note of their threats and grant your bondservants may speak with confidence. Bondservants in Acts 4, 29 and 30. Paul is referred to, not just by himself or by others in the church. A demon-possessed woman understands this principle. Church, if a demon-possessed woman can figure this principle out, we better get it this morning. Amen? Here this woman is following him around and says in verse 16, it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. You see, here was a woman who understood it because she was bound to a human master. She was a slave against her will and she was bringing them the profit and she understood something about being a bond slave. But she looks at these disciples, she looks at Paul especially and kept crying out saying, these men are bond servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And she continued doing this for many days, day after day. These are bondservants of God. These are bondservants of the Lord. These are bondservants of the Most High. And they're looking at this woman, and finally, having had enough, he says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. You see, the enemy understands this principle. And if we want to defeat the enemy in our lives, we must understand this principle. And that is it, that Paul's title for himself was not exalted apostle, elevated one of the church. What did Paul call himself? In Romans 1, he says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4, 5, we don't preach ourselves, but bondservants for Jesus' sake. Galatians 1, 10, I am a bondservant of Christ. Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of God. His first title for himself, again and again, was a bondservant. Paul and Timothy in Philippians 1, 1, were called bondservants of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus was declared by Paul to be a bondservant in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, and a good prescription for us as to how we go about this. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus so bound himself to the will of the Father that he said, even if this takes me to my physical death, I am a bondservant of my Father, and I will fulfill his will. And when you and I get there in humility and obedience, we're getting somewhere. In our spiritual warfare, we're making progress in where we need to be. And so this morning, other bondservants, Tychicus in Colossians 4, 7, Epaphras, Colossians 4, 2, again, bondslave of the Lord, James 1, 1, James, the half-brother of Jesus, a bondservant of the Lord. If you know anything about brothers and sisters, imagine looking at your brother or sister, I am your slave, I'll do whatever you want. How well would that go over? But the half-brother of Jesus, recognizing the divinity of his half-brother, he looks at Jesus and says, I will serve you. I am your bondservant. James writes a wonderful epistle that tells us how to do that. Peter referred to himself as that. Jude also. All bondservants of the Lord. And here's the cool part in the book of Revelation. Multiple times, you and I are called bondservants of the Lord. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Revelation 2:20, I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, and we're going to talk about the Jezebel spirit, the Absalom spirit, and other things later, but not today. Who calls herself a prophetess, teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Revelation 7:3, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we've sealed the bondservants of our God in their foreheads. Revelation 11:18, my favorite, Revelation 19:5, and a voice from the throne came saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. I don't care who you are today, if we are bound to Jesus Christ, we can give praise to our God who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? And one of the symptoms of someone who is not properly bound to Jesus Christ, no matter their claim of Christianity or faith in the Lord, the symptom that we are not bondservants of the Lord is when we cannot give him praise. And so when we see him as the bondservant, what are bondservants of the Lord in all of these? Bondservants of the Lord, that's what we are. And so binding also happens as we're bound to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A couple examples, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace is a bond that is spiritual. It's not manufactured by human ends, it is a spiritual peace. The bond of unity is love. If we want to be united, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And so we see spiritual principles to which we may be bound. And so when Jesus gives us the authority to bind and loose, we must understand that we must then exercise that authority to bind ourselves and others through prayer. We bind ourselves to the authority of Christ. We bind ourselves to the will of the Father. We bind ourselves to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We bind ourselves to the nature and the character of Christ, binding our mind to the mind of Christ, our heart to the heart of God, our will to the will of Christ. We bind ourselves to these things. And then, like peace and unity and love, we bind ourselves to kingdom principles, truth, unity, love, peace, gratitude, faithfulness. And the Holy Spirit leads our binding prayers, and he will guide us into all truth as to how we should pray, because you and I have been given the authority to bind and loose. Again, Matthew 18:18, we have been given that authority. Look at your neighbor and say, you have the power. I heard it. I heard somebody singing it. I knew somebody would. But you have the power to bind and you have the power to loose. Here's the question. What do we bind and what do we loose? Here are some examples. I bind myself to the steadfast things of God. I bind my body, soul, and spirit to the will and purposes of God. I bind myself to the truth of God. God's word is ever constant and never changing. I bind myself to the blood of Jesus, its power and a continual awareness of it to cleanse me, cover me, protect me, and heal me, and remind me of his love for me. I bind my mind to the mind of Christ, knowing the battle for the soul takes place in the mind. Jesus renews my mind and guards my heart and my mind. I bind myself to God's timing. I bind myself to his plans, his purposes, his desires for my life. I bind myself to the nature of Christ. I bind myself to the attitude and the pattern of Jesus Christ. I bind myself to the overcoming behavior and spiritual desires that line up with the fruit of the Spirit. I bind my reactions and responses to Christ and desiring Christ-like behavior. I bind myself to the work of the cross. I bind my feet to the paths of righteousness and paths he's ordained for me to walk in obedience to him. I bind my hands to the work he's called me to do in order to prosper his will in the kingdom. I'll show you all these again, that last two slides. I'll show again on Wednesday night. We'll talk about them. It is in the binding that I am surrendered to Christ, aligned with God and his will, assured of his word, confident in his truth. I know who I am and whose I am in Christ. I'm cleansed, covered, protected, and healed. I'm conformed to the image of Christ and his nature and his work on the cross. My steps are ordered of the Lord. He is in control. My mind is strengthened. I am steadied in my spirit. I am strong. I am stable. I am able because of the power of the living God to whom I am bound and his strength that is at work in me. I am creative. I hear from the Lord. I have discernment. I know how to respond. I trust. I am confident in him, and I am stable because I am bound to the Lord, to his will, to his purposes, to his kingdom, and to the principles of that kingdom in which I stand. And when you and I live and walk that way, we live and walk in victory and we live and walk in power. The binding is where the stability and the fixed trust comes from. There's no room for fear because God's perfect love casts out fear. And then we can pray prayers of loosing. I loose, I destroy, I crush, I break, I smash, I cast down, I untie, I destroy every stronghold, every old wrong pattern of thinking. I destroy and demolish every attitude, idea, desire, belief, habit, and behavior that does not align itself with the character and the will of God. I destroy, smash down, break and loose from myself denial, pride, suspicion, disbelief, doubt, selfishness, confusion, distrust, fear, unforgiveness, false security, independence, control, manipulation, self-indulgence, anger, bitterness, gossip, and the list goes on, and the Holy Spirit will lead you in how to pray that prayer. I tear down and smash and destroy every stronghold and every other stronghold I have allowed to protect that stronghold. So you start by loosing areas in general, then you move to specifics as the Lord reveals them, loosing anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, wrong motivations, fear, pride, and here's the cool part. Every prayer that you pray is based on the Word of God. There is power in God's Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 say, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So base every prayer on the Word of God. You want some Word of God prayers? I'll give you some scriptures. I'm going to read them out loud so you can write them down. Don't have time to read them this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. This one I got to read. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down the strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You know who does that? We do that through his power. You can pray these prayers over yourself. The Word of God continues. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. "No fellowship with darkness." 1 John 1, 9. "Confessing our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive." 2 Corinthians 2, 14. "He leads us in triumph." 2 Timothy 1, 7. "No spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of self-control, a sound mind." Ever feel like you're going crazy? Stop. Read this scripture and then bind your mind to the mind of Christ. Bind your heart to the heart of God. Bind yourself to truth. Bind yourself to his love. Take authority in your own life and quit blaming others and quit being a victim of your circumstances. Stand up, use the power God has given you, and be a victorious, overcoming Christian, not because you happen to be having a good day, but because you know the power of binding and loosing in your life. Hebrews 2:14, Romans 8:28, God and his purposes. We could go on, but we have the authority to bind and loose. So here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to ask Paula to come, if she would, please. I'm going to put up one page. I'm going to ask them to put up, "Bind myself to the steadfast things of God. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." God's given you authority. And here's the cool part. Somebody asked the question on Wednesday night, "Well, what do I do about other people in my life that are struggling with spiritual issues?" Everything I just said applies when you pray binding and loosing prayers over someone else. They must submit to the authority of God, but you begin to do spiritual battle in the heavenlies for their soul. And what happens when we begin to pray and agree together is even more powerful. Because the principle of Matthew 18:18 there is not just that we can pray these prayers and we can bind them loose, but when two or three gather in his name, he is there also, and that we have the authority in the agreement. Church, this is why in order to bind and loose effectively in our own life and the life of others, we have to have the courage that one woman did on Wednesday night to speak up and say, I'm having a struggle in this area, and the church came around and surrounded her and prayed, and I believe in God's power and his grace to be at work in her life today because of that. We have to get over this pride. That's the first stronghold, and we have to be able to pray with one another. I'm going to ask Paula to begin to pray, and here's our altar response. Here's what we're going to do today. In the moments that we have together, I want you around your table, or if you're not at a table, if you're a seat, turn around, spin a chair around, do whatever you have to practically do. But I want you to pray, binding and loosing in prayers, over your own life or over each other. I never want to put anybody in a position where they're like super uncomfortable. Do I want to make you a little uncomfortable? Yes, that's part of my job. Sorry, it's just there, okay? I want to push your boundaries just a little bit. But if you're not comfortable doing this morning, don't feel like you have to or whatever. But I want to encourage you to, and I want to give you freedom to just begin to pray. Remember, you loose from yourself that which the enemy has bound you with. And you bind yourself to the purposes of God. What about that part where we bind the enemy and bind the strong man and all that? I'm going to talk about that Wednesday. And I don't have a very strong, you know, either or sort of component to this, but I do want to tell you that today's truth is very powerful. If you will say, Lord, I loose from myself the power and the effect of the enemy, the work that he can do in my life because of the flesh, the strongholds that are created, and you may want to name them specifically. I loose from my life fear. Fear has no authority, no place in my life today. I loose from my mind the unsteadiness and the anxiety and the confusion that is there, and I bind myself to the mind of Christ. Whatever you loose that is on this side of things, bind to this side of things. And so I loose fear and I bind myself to the love and the peace of God. I loose from my life lust and desires, that not just sexual but any desire in my life that doesn't please God and conform to his image, and I bind myself to the purpose and the will of God so that I'll fulfill his will and not my own. You see how they work together. And so I want to encourage you today to turn and to sit at your table, and I know this is kind of a very open thing, but would you all please just do this today and pray. And if you want to pray over yourself, go ahead and do that. And if you're hearing that prayer, agree and agree with that brother or sister. If you want to say, hey, I'm having a struggle in this area, will you pray for me? I want someone at that table to say, then let me pray a prayer that is a loosing prayer that looses the power and the effect of the enemy at work in your life, or even the power of your own flesh at work. And let me bind you to the truth of God, to the truth of his will today. Every one of us can say there's something in our life we're struggling with today. The question is, can we do what the Scripture says to confess your faults to one another? If you don't want to expose deep, dark secrets, that's okay. You can have private time with someone you trust and do this. This works effectively. But I believe there are areas in all of our lives where we can say, I'm struggling with selfishness, with pride, with ingratitude, with fear, with anger. I'm struggling with a sense of just peace about life, and we can bind ourselves to the peace and truth of God. There's power in two or three witnesses. And here's the cool part. The moment you start doing that, Jesus is sitting at your table. Where two or three are gathered and agree together in his name, he is here also. So I want you to take a few moments around these tables and just begin to do that. I'll give you about 5 or 10 minutes together just to do that together.